Moline County Board of Supervisors, Tuesday, July 1st, 2019. Good morning. Chief, oh, it is July 2nd, isn't it? I lost a day. Correction, July 2nd, 2019.
He got grandkids coming last night, so his mind was empty.
Any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
I have none. Meet with department heads, elected officials. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning. We're just in the end parts of all of our remodeling. We're getting the rest of the carpet. We were kind of in a disarray yesterday, getting all the carpet laid in the whole office. And today they're doing the whole area, so it's almost done and we can get back in order anyway, so.
Looks nice.
I really want to thank the maintenance department, Rodney, all the guys for all of their work, so.
I see you were working them in there.
They were very busy yesterday.
Mike Johnstone, Des Moines County Sheriff.
Morning, Tom. Just a couple things. Again, we're coming into a 4th of July weekend or holiday. Again, we'll be watching for the illegal use of fireworks, but for the most part, they are legal. But there are time constraints on those. Also, we're going to be doing a boat check, a safety check for the boats on Friday down the riverfront. For those who want to go out, it's basically, there's no obligation, no cost. We're just going to simply advise people what they need on their boats. Have the current sticker, that's going to be one thing we'll be looking for. And just making sure everybody's safe out there. We'll be doing, you know, some checks on the river as well with DNR. So it could be a busy weekend. The river is back on the rise a little bit. Still pretty dangerous to be out there, but I know people are really wanting to get out and I expect to see quite a few on the river this weekend or this holiday. So we'll have extra patrols out, watching for drunk driving, those kind of things. So we really want everybody to be safe and just have a great 4th.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Tom.
Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Hi, I apologize for being late. I had a trial setting conference upstairs. We're busy. Obviously, everyone knows that the Burlington Police Department was extremely busy last week with shots, fires, calls. Unfortunately, for a couple of them, they actually made connections either with a vehicle or an individual. So we're going to start working pretty closely with Burlington. And I know I want to meet with the sheriff and try to figure out how best to start dealing with some of these. Three shots, fire calls in 5 days is a little much, especially when they're actually hitting targets. It's not just shooting up in the air. Obviously, with the 4th coming, they get a little more boisterous because everything gets confused with fireworks. And so we're really going to start working, I think, all the way around with all the agencies and looking at other resources at both the state and federal level to figure out how we can start dealing with these problems because they're becoming fairly significant problems. Like I said, last week we had 2 attempted murder cases from one of the shootings. So just dealing with that, you know, and hopefully at this point, all it becomes is shots fired. But at some point, they will hit their mark. And that's where we're getting concerned, just because it seems to be becoming more commonplace. And my worry is that citizens are starting to kind of become desensitized to it because it's become, shots fired calls, I know when I first got here was, oh my gosh, there's shots, I mean, everyone just stopped. Now it's like, oh, there's a shots fired call over on Sweeney or wherever. It's becoming far too commonplace and it's becoming bothersome to me that we're becoming, I think, just as a county, very desensitized to it because it's becoming so commonplace. So we're going to try to see if we can all start working together, especially with the task force, because I think a lot of these shootings are drug related. So try to figure out how we can pool resources and seek other resources to start dealing with the issue.
Is there a difference in the charge? I'm sure the dumb question, whether you just fire in the air or maybe you fire and there's no evidence of it, or they hit a car or a house?
Yeah, I mean, it obviously depends on the circumstances. I mean, if they're just shooting in the air to be messing around, it's usually a general low-level misdemeanor offense. But if you're shooting and there are people around, you're shooting at a house, a car, where there are people, it becomes much, much more serious. while both present a danger, we're also not only concerned with the end result, we're also concerned with what their underlying intent was to begin with. Generally, if people are just shooting their firearms up in the air because that's their version of fireworks, clearly a reckless situation because people can still get hurt. Those bullets still have to come down. But that's a lot different, obviously, than somebody who's chasing somebody down Plain Street and firing multiple rounds into their car. And so part of it is just based on the intent and what the circumstances are. One would be just a misdemeanor, the other is a fairly significant felony. And then if they hit their target, obviously we go into even bigger charges. So it's keeping us busy, but I think I would, and I know Sheriff Johnstone would agree, and I know the other agencies, it's something we really need to start being proactive about. We just need to figure out what it is we can be doing to curb some of this, because it's becoming very problematic.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thanks.
Doug Irvine, Correctional Center.
Good morning. Everything's going pretty good. Population's down just a little bit at 81. So that's a good sign, I guess. We are in the process of doing interviews tomorrow for both a dual transport officer slash we also are short a court security officer, I think 8 hours a week. So we're going to try to dual role that just to keep them at hours. On the agenda, we have a part-time that we'd like to put on. Other than that, I guess our control room's going real good. Tomorrow we're gonna start doing the desktop part portion of it, our cabinets, and getting everything fixed to support the new system that's up and running and working well.
Thank you, Doug.
Yep.
Ken. Coordinator of Disability Services.
Yes, nothing new to report this week, so things are going well. Just keeping busy helping people.
Good, thank you. Colin, how are things IT?
Good, staying busy like always, but nothing really new to report. So.
Jeff, Conservation.
Good morning. Parks are full. We all had something like 50 different reservations over last weekend for 32 sites, so they're all getting turned over, and we're full all this week and all next weekend. Good usage at the 4th, and we do have the Sycamore Loop open, and there were several campers down there too, so things are going good.
So you're busy on the weekend, so you're busy during the week?
We're busy all this week, yes.
All week?
Yep. And even on an off week, I know I camped up there probably about 3 weeks ago, and there were 12 people that camped all week. So pretty good usage.
How far out your cabin, Jeff?
Weekend wise, I know we're booked through the end of July. I think there may be a couple weekends in August, and September and October are starting to fill up now.
Thank you. Brian, Secondary Road.
Good morning. Just quick update on a few things. The project out on Old 34 is still ongoing. I don't know if they look like they're not too far off of pouring concrete again. I don't know if they got it done yesterday.
They're pouring this morning.
Today, it looked like they were close yesterday, but I hadn't been through there today. So I think there's a chance that could open back up next week. We've got to get cure time on that and obviously do a couple of last things and get shouldering on and stuff like that. But I think the north section came out pretty well, to be honest with you. And I had somebody complain about it, so I drove it again just to see if I missed something, and I don't think I missed anything. I think it turned out really well. So
what was their complaint on?
That it was rough.
I don't think it's rough.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Evidently didn't drive over the open, then, did
they? I don't know. Different standard. They may not be happy anywhere, to be honest with you, if that's rough. Our crew is out on Bridgeport Road removing. We spent last week or the week before doing some saw cutting, trying to get some stuff repaired ahead of the RAGBRAI use out there. So we're removing some concrete that we've done some saw cutting on, and then we're going to have Daly come in and pour that all back. hopefully in the next week or two. Obviously, Ragbri is right around the corner now. I had a question regarding a couple calls or whatever about Sullivan Slough Road, and of course it was underwater for a long while. So I was down to meet a landowner down there yesterday and took a look at it, and the water was still over the low water crossing part of it, but at least the portion of the road, I didn't drive through the standing water, but the portion of the road leading to that was passable. A lot of small debris still down there, tree limbs, small limbs and stuff like that. Ironically, we do shove trees off of that road and stuff, but a lot of times people want to get in there with their boat sooner than obviously we can do anything, so they'll come along and cut some trees off just so it's not in the way. But a lot of trees toppled down there, a lot of debris. The road itself was passable but rough. We haven't done a whole lot of blading on it or anything like that, and right now the forecast is that the river's coming up a foot again, so we won't be doing a whole lot down there until we feel confident the river is going to stay down. So, yeah, that's
when would that ever be?
good question. I'll let you know.
The cement past dam up going up the hill they talk about so rough, that is so rough.
Oh, out on Geo?
Yeah. Yep. Is that something that the project there is going to fix, or is that something you have to fix?
No, that's something that we'll have to fix eventually. We were aware of it. It's not in a program right at the moment, but that'll be something. We weren't going to do anything there with all the construction going on in the middle of everything else. So no, it is not. It's not part of the project going on there.
Okay.
No, the roadway itself is county responsibility, and the bridge deck was county responsibility also. Once you get underneath there into the spillway and stuff, that's DNR responsibility. And they're working out there now, I believe. I guess I'll mention that I think they're getting ready to construct an entirely brand new spillway, from what I understand, which wasn't something that they ever discussed with me. I don't know if that's something they didn't expect to do or not, but from what I understand, they've been in removing concrete and doing at least a whole new floor in that spillway, if not some more work. So there is some work going on out there. And the hill's rough, but it's there and you can still drive it. So that's work going on out there. And then just if you're driving up Highway 61, pay attention, because those closures they're shifting around and changing, and you might, one day come across something. I do believe they went ahead and closed some of the roads that we talked about last week. So that's kind of an ever-changing dynamic up there, and it won't be all that long. At some point they'll start talking about doing Flint Bottom Road. That'll probably be the biggie when it goes closed. So when I hear about that, I'll let you know. They do have to put up a one of those mobile message boards that warn the public of it, and that has to be done 10 days in advance, so people will have over a week of heads up about that just out on site.
We were going to close that three times last year, weren't they?
Yes, they were. Yes, they were.
They've got them detour signs up. They're waiting to come. Larry Waddley the other day stopped by his house. She went on the detour up here north. She took that detour 61. She ended up in Danville on the detour, and she wouldn't know how to get to Hannibal, she said.
she took the detour. She's the only person that's ever taken that detour. But people don't take that detour when it is closed. But well, good for her following the signs. I'm proud of her. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. Jack, Jared, what do you want to cover? Land use?
Yeah, things are going well. We've got several agenda items today. Couple subdivisions, a couple new land use contracts. As far as subdivisions, we did have a zoning commission meeting last Thursday. We had a preliminary final plat for Reese and Ridley, which is on the agenda today for approval. The other one was out at Wildlife Lakes. And there were several property owners there, very, very nice about everything, but basically led to tabling that subdivision. They're gonna make a few few changes based on some of the comments there. So that one will get delayed a little bit, but it'll come back eventually. Otherwise, I don't know anything else.
Thank you.
Staying busy.
Correspondence. See, none of the other, do you gentlemen have any correspondence? Proceed to discussion and vote. We have accounts payable claims in the amount of $381,402.40. Terry.
Yes, Terry.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. We have payroll claims reimbursements in the amount of $694.50, and non-cash taxable reimbursements in the amount of $8.27.
Vote to approve.
Terry.
Jack.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. We have an updated list of employees in the Des Moines County Attorney's Office who are authorized to perform the duties of the county attorney and to sign forms, notices, or documents in the absence or disability of the county attorney. This is to comply with the Iowa Code Chapters 331.756 and 331.903. The first assistant is authorized by Iowa Code Chapter 331.903 to perform the duties of the county attorney during the absence or disability of the county attorney. Todd Schell, named the first assistant county attorney. This authorization shall remain in effect until such time as a change is needed.
Are we approving that?
I think it needs to be approved.
Okay, I move to approve.
We all appreciate that.
Who first? Who did first?
I did.
You did?
Okay.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
It's particularly helpful because it seems like every time my husband and I go to Chicago, somebody gets shot. So
don't go to Chicago.
That's what I've been told. So yeah, we went to the Ozarks the last time.
Sounds like a safer trip.
At least for everyone in Berlin.
We have approval of Karosh Compliance Solutions agreement letter to renew our contract for the HIPAA program for $17,014. Roger was here last week or the week before. Week before, but Bob made it for that. But
yeah, I got it.
Anyway,
yeah,
so
I had that pleasure.
We could save a little bit of money by naming our own operational officers, but with them furnishing that, they take almost all we almost have to intentionally screw something up. They get the liability, so I'm comfortable with this.
I so want to approve.
What's that? You approve? Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
I take the liability on that. That's a big thing.
Approval of a contract for Pleasant Grove Road paving. That would be Brian.
I gave you the report 2 or 3 weeks ago now. I've lost track, and this was with Jones Paving, and I'd recommend approval.
Keeping under budget, as I recall.
Yeah, came in under budget, and we had 3 bids. They were very competitive. They were under the other 2 bids by probably 20,000, if I remember right. And this is for there's a particularly bad section of concrete west of the bridge that's located by the quarry. and I don't think it's going to hurt anybody's feelings. And it's not the only place. Bob mentioned the hill and geode. There's other places that need to be done. This is the one we're going after because I think the rest of it's going to fall apart. So so we're going to do that first 1,000 foot. That is the worst of the worst by far on that stretch, and they're going to do it this late summer, fall sometime. I'd recommend approval.
Okay. County engineers brought it to the board's attention. We take a road tour and we go over that, and he doesn't slow down.
Yeah, you don't sleep through it. It's rough.
Terry?
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. Any idea when they'll be able to start, Brian?
They have until mid-October. No, they have to be done by mid-October. We were trying to get the project done before majority harvest, so it could clip harvest on the early end. I talked to the contractor, and he said late summer at best. He said it probably will be into the fall, but he wasn't sure exactly.
Still planning on having one lane going through there, though, isn't he?
No, it will close.
Close it down then?
Yes. When I get you guys back out sometime, the one probably big difference on this project, that is currently a curb and gutter road.
Yeah.
We are actually, our crew right now as we speak is up constructing ditches on both sides for this 1,000 feet. And so when we're done with this 1,000 feet, they'll actually build the road, and it will no longer be curb in that area. It'll have shoulders, and we have a lot of problem in this location with water seeping out of it because it's got tall banks on both sides, and the water seeps out of those banks and then bleeds up through the concrete. And of course, that's a freeze-thaw issue along with the quality of the concrete. So the ditches should cut a lot of that water issue off, and so that's one of the reasons we're doing that. And so no, there will be nothing open. They'll do a full depth removal because we have to do it even wider because we're going to pave it 28 foot wide, so there'll be a two foot paved shoulder on both sides of the road. So they'll tear it all out and they'll pave it all back. So.
We have a 3-year contract with Southeast Iowa Regional Planning for the land use services being provided by Zach and Jared at $57,000 a year, as was discussed during the budget hearings.
Second.
Carey?
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. We have approval contract with Southeast Iowa Regional Planning to update the land use ordinance, try to eliminate the some of the what do you want, what's a good word here?
Issues.
Don't do that. And I believe this is for, was that $10,000? I don't see it here.
Yeah,
for $10,000. Also, as discussed during the budget hearings.
Primarily the zoning and subdivision ordinances, but possibly some with the floodplain development as well. We'll review all of them.
I think there were some contradictions in the entire document.
Lawyers like to use the term ambiguity.
Ambiguity. Some of them were ambiguity. Some of them were just flat out contradictions.
Yes. There's a lot of gray area.
Bob, did you?
You.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes.
And we have approval of a final plat and resolution for the first addition to the Alwin subdivision.
This is a minor subdivision located north of Burlington in Franklin Township. It's just to the east of Highway 61, a little bit north of 150th Street. One lot, minor subdivision. It actually follows an earlier subdivision called the Alleman subdivision in 1998, where there were two residences existing that were split off onto two separate parcels, lots one and two. So this basically takes lot two and then splits off the eastern half as its own separate lot, which is presently undeveloped. It's just an area of open space with a small pond on the south side. And that is a little over 2 acres and is intended for the eventual development of a home from a family member of the subdivider, Mr. Alleman, who lives in the house, currently sits on lot two. So in terms of comments received, first from the, I should also note that, this is in, is subject to the fence waiver due to the properties to the north and south being classified as agriculture. So we do have fence waivers from both of those owners there, White Irish Farms LLC and Donald Schmidgall. So both of them signed that waiver. So for the comments from the review process, Public Health, Jim Holliday stated no objection. However, this is no guarantee that the proposed lot is suitable for an on-site wastewater treatment system, and it is recommended that a site plan be developed prior to construction. So we discussed that with him, and he noted that the main possible issue there is that there's a relatively high water table, and with the presence of that existing pond, the challenge would be to determine a site appropriate for a septic installation. However, that would have to be addressed at the time a permit is applied for, which it sounds like the it's possible that they might not actually develop a house on that for another year or two, so that'll be have to be addressed at that time. And so to address that particular issue, we've included our standard condition on the resolution pertaining to septic installation. A permit for an on-site wastewater treatment system shall be obtained from the health department prior to construction of a residence, and a code compliance system shall be installed prior to habitation. We also got a comment from the Minneapolis Fire Department. Chief Jeff Kerr stated that the narrow lane may be a small problem, as we won't be able to have two vehicles meet at the same time. And now this is addressed an issue that Zach and I both noticed initially when the subdivision was first submitted. So there's the access for this property would be along a east-west driveway that connects with Highway 61. It's 10 feet wide, and it already serves several residences along that stretch, including two that are to the east of lot three, away from the highway. So our subdivision ordinance requires that a driveway cannot serve more than two residences unless it be widened and expanded to roadway dimensions. We, in discussing that with the fire department, the main issue they had is that the inability of the vehicles to fire department vehicles to come in and out of there during a fire and have enough room to circulate through there. So that, in his estimation, it wouldn't necessarily mean you'd have to widen the road. That another alternative could be possible if it accomplished the same outcome. And so we looked at a alternative where we'd seen with other subdivisions in the past, where instead of widening the road itself, there'd be a hammerhead turnaround installed, basically a wide driveway entrance that would be at least 20 feet wide to accommodate turning in and out of there comfortably, including a fire truck. So they seemed very receptive to that idea. And so as we worked with the surveyor to get an update to the plat, so you can see the latest version of that, has added a proposed emergency vehicle turnaround, which would be a length of 50 feet and then 20 feet wide. It's specifically included at the east end of the property to accommodate the desire of the subdivider. That's where they'd want to have their driveway entrance anyway. So this would basically double as the driveway entrance for the property, but that specific portion would be wide enough and sturdy enough to support a fully loaded fire truck. So we've included a another condition on the resolution as well, that the minimum width requirement for shared driveways in the subdivision ordinance shall be waived for the existing driveway off of 61, currently serving six residences. However, prior to construction of a new residence on lot 3, a 20-foot wide turnaround shall be installed at the entrance to the property off of the driveway from 61, and it, this will be shall be able to support the weight of a fully loaded fire truck. That was all the issues that we had noted in our departmental review. With that, we would recommend approval of the first addition to Ullman subdivision with those two added conditions regarding emergency vehicle access and septic installation.
Is that 61 right there, is that going to be your road, or is that going to hook up the state?
Well, that's close right there. I have to look. I think that location becomes a county road, that part of 61. And I did want to clarify, because this has come up on this road before, the road that this is on is not a county road.
Oh, sure, good point.
And we do not do maintenance on it. And there is a cemetery at the end of it, and more than once they have come to the board wanting the county to take over dealing with this road, and we will not. It's a private road, and we don't do snow on it, we don't do anything with it. So I want to point that out, because there's potential of another house, and I suspect that question will probably be brought up by somebody in the future again.
It's an easement on the property to the north to provide access for all of those properties to 61. It's included on the plat.
And those new landowners understand that, what Brian just said.
The land understand it when they call me.
Sometimes that's a little late.
Well, that's how it happens, unfortunately, sometimes. And these guys did a nice job. They called me, they touched base. So it's been made clear at this point. And this isn't the only place this comes up, but the people that are out there are all accustomed to a certain level of service when it snows. That's actually normally when it comes up, and then somebody builds and somebody's not there within whatever after it snows. So I just want to point it out to you guys, it's not a county road. So
on that sewer system part, is it just for that one lot, or is it for all four lots?
This is
for the sanitary part of it.
Just for the one new lot that's being created as part of this, yes.
I move to approve.
It's going to be a big thing on that. Buy that lot and not be able to put a system in it. But second.
Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. Sign these after the meeting.
It's not that, just to be clear, it's not that you can't put one on there, but you got to get a permit first.
Yeah.
And the site might not be suitable. It's just no guarantee that you can
do it. It might require some engineering.
Huh?
Might require some engineering.
Yes.
We'll leave that up to our.
There's ways to put septics in. That's Jim's typical approach. There's ways to make it happen.
Yes, sir. We also have approval of preliminary final plat resolution for the Reese and Ridley subdivision.
This is the one that Zach had alluded to earlier that had been discussed at last week's zoning commission meeting. So this one does not qualify as a minor subdivision, as it does involve four lots. However, we followed the precedent of another subdivision a couple years ago, the Summer Street addition, which similarly included four to five lots along an existing county right-of-way and utilizing existing utilities. It's done as a preliminary and final together, where it had the public hearing at the zoning commission meeting, but condenses the process into preliminary and final all at once. So this subdivision is located in Danville Township. a little over a mile to the north of the city of Middletown on Boundary Avenue, which is a county road. It involves four lots. Each would be just a little over 1 acre minus the right-of-way. It's taking an existing 14-acre property owned by the subdivider, Tim Johnson, and splitting those lots off so that there remains a 66-foot strip on either side to the north and south of that for access to the remaining property of the farm and open space owned by Mr. Johnson to the east. And that north strip also allows for continued shared access between Mr. Johnson and the owner of a property in Kingwood Estates at the corner there with a garage entrance off of Boundary Avenue. So with the creation of these lots, okay, I'll look at this going off of the report we wrote off for last week at the Zoning Commission meeting for the comments we received. I will note for the fence waiver would not be applicable in this case due to the fact that the subdivider owns property on three sides of the road on the fourth side. So in terms of comments received from the review process, secondary roads, noting that lots 1 and 2 will need to share an entrance and lots 3 and 4 will need to share an entrance. That's again very similar to what happened with Summer Street Addition a couple years ago due to the fact that there's the density of lots in that small area just for safety purposes along that Richard County Road. And from the Health Department, due to the topography of lots, it would be beneficial if the developer would specify the type of private wastewater system as suitable and whether, excuse me, whether a common drain or an easement will be provided. So we discussed that with Jim, and noting mainly due to the relatively flat topography, you can see on the final plat has 2-foot contours on there. There's relatively little relief from east to west there. That would need to possibly be addressed through a common drainage system. So the subdivider subsequently spoke with Mr. Hawley, and they worked out an arrangement to include a 20-foot easement on the rear side of each of those four properties for the purpose of the drainage system serving them. I should note that as part of actually developing this subdivision, Mr. Johnson's son, Noah, is planning to build a home for himself on lot 1, which is the southernmost of the four lots, and that's an immediate prospect. The other three are more of a long-term prospect for selling for development, but this is just having the whole thing subdivided at once. Just because of the fact that those other three aren't going to be developed right away, we felt it would be appropriate again to include that same standard condition on the resolution about a permit for an on-site wastewater treatment system will need to be obtained from the County Health Department prior to construction of each of those residences, and a code compliant system would need to be installed prior to habitation. From the auditor, we had a few minor comments specifically related to some formatting issues with the plat. Those have since been adjusted. The latest version, that's all been corrected.
For the county engineer's comments about the two drives.
Yeah, that's included as a note on the plat as well. And they illustrate those as proposed access, shared access of where those two lots each come together.
Was there any promises from the county engineer that he was going to cement that road?
I suspect you know the answer to
that. I don't recall it.
Seems like we've heard that though from real people out there.
Out on that road, that is a topic of conversation.
And then, in terms of the review at the city of Middletown, this subdivision is within the 2-mile boundary of the city of Middletown. So we have a resolution from them. They discussed this at a meeting on June 10th, where the five council members voted unanimously to waive the review requirements for a final plat within their 2-mile. So they waived the right to do that in this case. Following that. We set this up for a zoning commission for a public hearing at the meeting, which was held last Thursday, the 27th. It was a pretty uneventful meeting there, considering the relatively the simple nature of splitting out the four lots. We had one property owner in Kingwood Estate subdivision in attendance, but evidently they never spoke about, they never spoke up during the public hearings. Evidently they were satisfied with what they heard. So no significant issues brought up by the commission members otherwise. And it was unanimously approved by the five commission members in attendance to recommend approval of this subdivision. So with that, we would recommend approval of recent Ridley subdivision with the added condition about the septic installation.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have personnel actions. We have one personnel action for the correctional center. Tucker Hulse, part-time correctional officer, new hire at the $12.63 an hour rate.
Second, how old is he?
I believe he's 18. He just graduated.
That's what I thought.
18, not he's 19, but I think 18.
I saw that, and I thought...
From Danville.
Yeah.
Terry, no way.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
I suppose I get in trouble for asking how old he was.
I don't like getting in trouble for telling his stuff.
We have a personnel action for the county attorney, Todd Shelf, promotion to senior assistant county attorney. His new rate will be $78,000 an hour, effective
an hour.
Holy cow!
That went to your budget. $78,000 a year.
He's valuable, but not that valuable.
Move to approve.
You hire good people.
Movie star.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Terry.
Yes.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. Tell Todd I was looking out for him.
I will. He'll want to hire you, especially if you get 10%.
And we have a Jennifer Ratliff, part-time clerk for the sheriff's office. 24-month step increase, previous rate $1,481. The new rate is $15.61.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. We have minutes for the special meeting on June 21st, 2019.
Move to approve.
Second.
Stand.
Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. We have minutes for the regular meeting of June 25th, 2019.
Move to approve.
Second.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Abstain.
Any other business? Future agenda items. Committee reports.
I had none.
I had juvenile detention. I got some good things on it and some. Well, the good thing is that for this year, through for FY 19, excuse me, we was down a little bit, 1,152 days through June. the 15th. It was only through the 15th. Where last year, we was at 1,205. The bad thing is, it still costs us $184,320 to stay there. But coming up here now, in July of last year, in 19, we had 125 days, 154 days in August, 140 in September, and 123 in October. So we got our heavy months coming up for juveniles. So I don't know, got to keep them out off the street or something.
Maybe some of those people turned 18 over the last year.
Yeah, could be. You'll be getting the ones that turned over. So that's a good thing. But now this $184,320, that's just for the day. That does not count transportation back and forth. So you can bump that up. So that's all I got.
Public input. If anybody from the public would like to address the board, please stand up and give us your name and address for the record. You can go to the podium if you want, but you don't need to.
I think you guys know me, Jack Dalston. Main reason I came in today is you've been speaking about the use of the river coming up 4th of July and everything. The ramp out home was real busy both days. There again, most of the ramps they can't get out to. And because of the erosion, the approach up on the ramp needs rocked out again, that you can drop an axle on a small trailer and drag out. But the south end where it's cement, I showed Jim some pictures this morning and stuff, right at the side of the cement, there's one area there, 3 foot wide and a good 16 inches deep. So any trailer's gonna drag out on the frame. You can see where the cement's chipped from people doing it already. And I didn't know if there was a chance of getting something in there before the 4th, because it's gonna get real busy again. Your river's coming back up and you can't use most of these ramps other than the paved ones here in Burlington. And also there's a cement block at the south ramp, and it holds the dock in place. And I've suggested this a couple times to the conservation department. It seems to fall on deaf ears. They need to get a post there, because right now it blocks this far out. You're talking something 4 foot wide and 6 foot long, this thick of cement to hold the dock. It's got to be there. But they need to put a post in there when they're taking the docks out, so when that goes underwater, people still using the ramp that are not used to it know that block is there. There's been more than one lower unit screwed up on that. Props, fiberglass boats over the years have got holes put in them coming in. They don't realize it's there. And also back in the trailer end, they need to just put a bracket on the cement that they can drop a heavy pole in when they pull the dock, so it becomes knowledgeable something's there, at least if you're a stranger to the ramp, we know about this stuff. And it seems like a simple fix to get it done. But the main thing is gravel. I go up there with the tractor and go step around, but there's no gravel there to work with since the current force had one out on the south end and stuff. And second thing on the agenda would be from the ATV, UTV law that you folks put in for us last year. The main comment I get from a lot of people is, something needs to be done. If you can reach out to your fellow supervisors to make it, we buy a ticket in Des Moines County for our sticker. If you want to go a county south, they've got a sticker now that they pretty much copy the folks a lot with beaver ordinance, that they'll honor each other's sticker. That guys are going, wait a minute, we got to go to every county we might end up in and buy a sticker. We're going to have to put a list of stickers on the back. This gets ridiculous. And I agree with them that something could be written that at least our bordering counties each honor each other or something like that. If I got a Des Moines County sticker and I want to go south to the next county, because a lot of people live along these county lines, and it's like I shouldn't have to go buy two stickers if I live in Des Moines County. The Wise County doesn't have a sticker. I don't know, you could write an ordinance up something like you got to have a sticker from somewhere, to keep your revenue coming, something like that. I know it can be working probably pretty easy that way. But that's a comment I get from most people.
Any places that have done that have got already started doing that? That we could. Is there any?
I don't know if any. I've had people.
I was at a meeting, this meeting I was just talking about, and Lee County's put this in. And they're not going to honor our stickers.
at all. They say these are for county residents. If they want to go in Des Moines County, they've got to buy a Des Moines County sticker. And if we want to run ours in Lee County, we've got to buy a Lee County sticker. And they're $25, you know, for if each, and that's what they're at, $25. You know, if you can afford a $10,000 toy to go play with, you can surely afford $50 stickers.
I apologize to people that would approach me on that sticker after that happened. Jim, I know you felt that that was fair because of what they charged you out in Danville to ride your golf cart around.
$20 out in Danville on my golf cart.
A lot of people said, Jack, we're just glad you got it. $25 ain't a big deal. I've had a few bitch about it to me and stuff. But the fact of getting into, all right, you buy one here, you buy one there. Do we go to Danville? Do we need to buy your golf cart sticker out there too?
I have no
idea. And it starts to get ridiculous that you got to have a sticker for every residence that you pull into, you know, or a little township or something that's going to have their own sticker price. And, you know, there again, if it was a statewide ordinance, we wouldn't have this issue at all. So far, my trip to Des Moines, I've never addressed anybody up there on that. But if we did, then it would take away the county's revenue here if it passes statewide. I just thought the county should be able to work something out and get along on this. And maybe if Des Moines County had it, maybe the people in Lee County would raise so much hell with their supervisors, they'd say, oh, we're in trouble here.
Well,
we're being the asses about it, you know. So it's got to start somewhere, and that's the reason I brought it up while it's here, that look at this.
Our sticker is just, well, you can ask Tom, just barely covers our liability, the extra liability we're paying. I think it was, what, $1,800 last year, Tom?
You're asking too much of my memory.
Yeah. And so anyway.
How many stickers do you have now?
We got 200 now.
Is that all? I thought it was
supposed
to be. Well, there again, I had a farmer ask me yesterday, a big farmer asked me yesterday, saw him, and he said, Jack, he goes, I told the wife that maybe we ought to hop in the Kubota and take a little ride. And I said, well, you can claim ag. And he goes, I don't want to if it's just her and I out riding. He goes, what do I got to do to get a sticker to make me legal? A lot of people really, there again, I have a lot of people ask me. I've been quoted a lot of things that aren't in your ordinance and stuff that people think they know what's there. It's, you know, not very well recognized and what they would have to do and this and that yet out through your county. And, you know, like I said, just yesterday I had somebody ask me about it at a church function, and I explained it to him. Well, I didn't know, you know. And so anyway, and there again, he was somebody that wanted to go to Mediapolis because he lived near Mediapolis. He said, lo and behold, it's in the paper that they want to keep us out. And I'm going to address that down the road, I think, and in Mediapolis. But, you know, as far as county to county, it just seems like, you know, that's where I live. I go to Wise County, but they don't even have a sticker. So, but a lot of people living on the south part of your county with Lee County down there more or less copying the hours and the ordinance. It's like, I don't want to buy from two or three counties, you know. I've heard that Henry County's looked at it. I don't know if they passed one yet or not. So your bordering people are the ones that are really complaining about it, you know. And I just wanted to make you guys aware of it, and if you can make some kind of compromise with some of these other counties on it. Stuff.
On the other hand, Lee County just come in with it, and they sold over 300 stickers.
There's a little time on the sheriff's part. If you, the more of them you got around, they have to pretty much.
Yeah, I didn't know.
They're supposed to be checking, you know, to see that rules are being followed. And,
well, it's and, the fact that people don't know what the rules are, like, you know. The Hawkeye probably had some stuff in there. I mean, there again, the Hawkeye's publication seems to be getting real thin out in the bottoms anymore. People dropping it and stuff. And hey, my brother's called three times in the last week to a machine, and he said he wants to buy a subscription.
Not
and
your
the machine
fault,
said to get back. Nobody got back to him.
You're leaving that.
And just that people would see it better, and I don't know where you would put it out as a publication and more people might see it to remind them that they can buy a sticker and stuff, and this is what they need, and this is what allows them and stuff. And that maybe Lee County did a better job of getting the message out.
I was in Washington, D.C. last week, and I parked in a spot that the night before had two cars parked in, and this time we had to pull in and the parking lot was terrible. Overnight, I had a little sticker that I put in my window for parking, and I got a $50 ticket for only thing I can figure is we must have parked too close to stop sign, they have to be back 35 or 40 feet or something. There was two cars in that spot the night before. No signs. Ignorance of law. I don't know, Jack. I was afraid we'd come up with all this stuff when we put the ordinance in, and sure enough, we are.
Oh, there's going to be little things, but I think any law.
And you just want more and more and more. I'm not saying you, everybody, the public. And there's a whole lot more of those things out on the road now, I think, than what there was before. And out of that money, they're not all stickered.
Wouldn't surprise me at all. That's the reason I said that, you know, that argument of, like I said, the wife wanted to run me out this the other night to go to Sprouts to buy ice cream. And she goes, but they don't want our business. You know, I said, yeah, it's been a nice ride. You know, but we can't go into Minneapolis and play man used to get ice cream. So I said, you know, we're not going.
I got
gas cans in the truck today to buy gas in Burlington because I normally buy it in Minneapolis. I go up with the side by side and buy it, but I'm buying gas.
I agree with you though, ice cream is very important.
The white beer is on me.
Go ahead. No, I was gonna change the subject. I was gonna ask Jeff about anything. Any hope for that?
I know Chris is going to work with FEMA. He'll be in the office this afternoon, so I'll address it with him.
Okay.
Yeah, see if we can get something.
All right. Everybody's going to be using it just like they have the last two weekends. It's been full up there, and 4th of July coming up. Like I said, there's this pent-up demand to get the river.
Sure.
And so people are going out even though it is kind of high and stuff.
Okay.
And I know we can't put boat docks in. It's too high, but the fact that that river jumps a foot right now, that block's about 4 inches out today, so it'll be back under about 10 inches. And we get conditions like this, people come that don't know the ramp, they don't know that block's there. I've warned numerous people, and I've had other people tell me, God damn, we just hit this, what is that out there, you know, and stuff. What can I say, you know, yeah. Tell them and stuff.
You say it's the Mississippi, beware.
Well, that's a mem block, you just don't normally expect there, you know, if you're not thinking about it and stuff. So. All right, just two things.
Thanks for bringing that to our attention.
Yeah, thanks, Jack. And we'll keep that in mind about the side to sides.
Yeah, it's just, I said it has to be started somewhere when, you know, Jim said they talked about it in the other county and stuff already.
And you know, we don't move fast here.
I've had experience with that. So.
It took us, 2 years of you coming down here?
I don't know. I never put in nomination papers as much as I was here. I thought about it. So.
There's no further public comment? With an aye, we're adjourned.
Aye.